T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
All right, today is day 2 of Camp Caserio. We were out there on the ground. We watched every single minute of practice, and the big thing and the biggest story at camp is Deshaun Watson. David Culley, the head coach of the Houston Texans, gives an update on Deshaun Watson. This was him earlier today.
Well, as we said before, it's a daily deal, and there's no change from yesterday. Like I said, there's no change, and we're just going day to day.
It's a daily process, no change from yesterday. Is that what you witnessed? Is that what you felt you saw with Deshaun Watson day two?
Yeah, look, I thought there was definitely no change from yesterday. I mean, there was a very similar approach to practice for Deshaun Watson. There was a very similar body language, the disengagement of what's going on. It's and I understand why. I understand it. I get it. But yeah, it was more of the same from yesterday. Very little involvement, little scout team action as a safety, in a walkthrough pace type of situation. Other than that, on a knee, very little interaction with coaches in a sense of attempting to get caught up to speed with the offense or anything like that. So clearly he's there so he doesn't get fined. I mean, Deshaun Watson is channeling his inner Marshawn Lynch, and he is there so he does not get fined. And I think that's blatantly obvious if you watch practice.
Yeah, and now it's day two and we see it for 2 straight days. Is it still feel like as big of a mistake as it has before to have him out there?
Oh yeah,
to have him,
yeah. Look, I think it's again. I'll say it. It doesn't matter whether we talk about it for 3 segments an hour or not. It's a distraction. Him being out there, the guy being on the team that's taking a knee across the way. There's no way that David Culley and Nick Caserio and Tim Kelly and Pep Hamilton don't watch what they're watching from the quarterback position and go and look over at Deshaun and go, damn, it'd be nice to have one of the top 2-3 guys in the league right now. It's still going to be a distraction. It's still going to be questions for David Culley after every practice. And I think the way that the Texans have handled this is going to make it more of a distraction and more of a bad look for themselves down the road when David Culley no longer can say, oh, it's a ramp-up period, we're getting him ready, we'll decide whether we want to give him more reps later on. I think that's going to blow up in their face at some point in time, because it's clear when we're watching practice, Deshaun Watson is not moving towards getting more reps. We're 2 days in. He's been in Houston since Sunday. That's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Today's Thursday, right? That's 4 nights and 5 days. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback. Just stop
with those excuses.
You've had plenty of time to get him caught up to speed where he could get team reps, 7-on-7 reps, if that were the intention. Which I don't know why you're even saying that, but you are. And there is zero chance that's what's going on in Houston. So I think that's going to backfire on the Texans, and that's going to backfire on Culley, and it's just going to create more gas on the fire, so to speak, that he's going to have to he's going to have to answer those questions, and it's going to backfire on him.
I've seen this on Twitter, and I see it on the text line, and when we've talked about this, what it does, it just creates that separation more from your fan base to your team and the organization, that disconnect, because no one in their right mind believes, when you, even if you say that with a straight face, that, oh, we've got to watch tape and we've got to learn more. We got to get Deshaun ready because he hasn't had enough time to get ready. And one of the biggest issues your fan base has is that disconnect. And you're walking up there and trying to tell us that Jeff Driskel deserves to get more reps and can participate in 7-on-7s and 11-on-11 team drills, and Deshaun can't because he's not ready yet with the system.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem with not facing it head on from Jump Street, right?
And it's just an eye roll from fans and an eye roll from people like, come on.
I mean, and even if you're going to make the decision that he's going to be there, when you're asked about it, I mean, there's got to be a better plan than to try to pull the wool over everybody's eyes. Now, if they're able to trade him before it blows up in their face, then hey, I salute the hell out of them. We'll see what happens. But if this goes on, like, what do you do? How many days are we away from the first preseason game?
I think it's like 15 days, 16
it's less
days.
It's less than 2 weeks.
I mean, so what if this goes on for 2 weeks? Are you going to trot Deshaun Watson out there in a uniform and sit him on a bench?
Yeah.
In front of your crowd?
He missed OTAs, and that's why he's not ready yet.
Well, I mean, who cares? At that point, who cares if he's not ready? You got a guy that's being accused of 22 sexual misconduct, civil lawsuits, and you're going to put a uniform on him and trot him out there. So, I mean, it's just one of those things that, to me, the inability to see what could possibly happen down the road is a major, major mistake. And I don't know how you handle that when your answer right now is to trot him out there on the field. And however you handle it, it's going to be news. Right? You can't go, there's no right answer. At that point, if you go, no, we want you to stay in the locker room, we want to put you in a suite, or we want you to stay at home, well, that's going to be news. And everybody's going to jump on it. And so it's just one of those, like, it's a snowball rolling downhill, and they're bringing a lot of it on themselves. I don't know how they stop the snowball, so to speak.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, the Astros, they get an 11-4 win. They are now 63-40, have a healthy 6-game lead in the AL West over the A's. They've got a heck of a run. They've got they're off today, but starting next week they play the Giants, who I believe have the best record in baseball. Then they get a day off, and then they go to Los Angeles and play the LA Dodgers. They dropped game one. Here was Dusty following their last two W's to win that series.
They were really unfazed. I mean, we were, you know, you can be down at night, but the next morning is a new day, and the sun came up, it was just a, you know, new day, and these guys have the ability to, you know, just like we were down 3-0 in the playoffs last year against Tampa Bay, and I had the ability to forget yesterday and then 12 more on today.
Yeah, big series for them. Way to get the win. They blew the 7-0 lead, and that can have a snowball effect at times. I'm sure as a former athlete, a loss can lead to more losses. That was big for them. Now heading in, feeling good, and we'll see. They still have another day, Clint, before the trade deadline ends to make another move heading into it, and now a day off there. I'm sure James Click is going to be on the phones all day. But beating the Mariners and keeping them at bay, pretty good response after Monday's debacle.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is the Astros are somehow – I mean, this crew has been able to continue to win, to continue to stretch that lead in the division out with no Bregman, with Carlos Correa going through an unbelievable slump, with the bullpen blowing up a couple of times, hell, with a couple of the young starters struggling in ways that we hope they didn't, especially that early in the second half of the season. This team has been able to overcome those issues, and, James Click has obviously made a couple of big moves here. And it looks like whether he makes another move or not, they're going to be significantly more difficult to score runs on later in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. So it's going to be fun to watch this group down the stretch, man. I mean, once you get everybody back, get full go, And look, I'm talking about some of those young guys too. Get them young guys. And look, I'm not saying you roll you look forward to rolling Josh James out there, but I'm just saying there's a bullpen right now that has an unbelievable amount of arms that you can pick from. And by the way, you better do it in the fifth or sixth because they ain't gonna see the 7, 8, or 9.
No, and I like to say this to our friend, the General John McClain, who is on with us each and every Friday in the 4 o'clock hour. I'm sure glad James Click didn't listen to him.
Brian, let me stop you right there.
No, I'm not gonna stop, John. John has said, and I heard him earlier this week on In the Loop, saying that the Astros shouldn't go after a closer. They already got a closer.
Well, sorry.
I'm glad James Click went ahead and decided to trade for two closers with the Miami Marlins and the Seattle Mariners because really what I wanted to say is, John, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard when I heard him say it. I want to call John and say it myself. Why not get the best arms possible? Why not get the best arms possible?
John's the only Hall of Fame. He is a Hall of Fame, but he is a member of the Hall of Fame. He's the only Hall of Fame caliber guest that we've had that you hadn't pissed off yet. I mean, won't you back off of McClain a little bit?
Hold on, Joe.
That's my bullet drinking buddy, man.
He deserves it.
He deserves it.
I'm just here to tell you, back off.
Man, I'm not backing off of nothing,
man. My drinking buddy, man.
I'm just saying, John, I'm glad he didn't listen to you.
Go ahead, pick it back up.
I bet you, John, standing out in that heat at training camp, I bet he can knock back a six-pack of bullets in a hurry, boy.
I mean, hot ones.
No. They got to be crackling cold, man.
Big 3-3. Number 3.
I like that. Crackling cold. All right, tonight's a big night for the Rockets, and you can catch it all right here tonight on Sports Radio 610, 7 o'clock. Sean Pendergast, who you hear each and every morning on Payne and Pendergast, he'll be joined with our Rockets insider, Adam Spolane, tonight as they'll have an NBA draft special, and the Rockets have the number 2 pick. And so it's already been reported by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, so you can go ahead and take that to the bank, that the Detroit Pistons are going to select Oklahoma State's Cade Cunningham with the number 1 pick. So that leaves the Rockets with the likes of Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, Suggs from Gonzaga. There have been more reports saying that the Rockets seem to be leaning towards Green, and that's who they will take. It'll be exciting tonight. We don't know for sure, so you make sure you get all of the info you need tonight, 7 o'clock. This is a big, big one tonight because this kicks off the rebuild, Clint.
Yeah, it's a big one, and look, I'm stoked about it. You know, I really like Jalen Suggs, old quarterback. I mean, just that dang
point guard.
Oh yeah.
Ryan said he likes him. Ryan McDonough, our NBA insider, said he's a winner. He likes him. But you go in number 2, Clint. I think you just have to go in the NBA with the biggest potential.
The stud, yeah.
The potential of star.
Yeah. I'm with you. This will be a fun one to watch. And look, there's nobody better in the game that I want to listen to break this thing down than Adam Spolane and Sean Pendergast. So that'll be fun to listen to those guys chop it up. But yeah, the old quarterback, Jalen Suggs, man, I'm a little fond of him, you know.
And real quick, a point that you have made, Clint, is also to remember the Rockets have two later picks in the first round as well. They've got pick 23 and 24. Like, what they do with that can also add to the help of this rebuild. Do they package it to try to move up to get somebody else? I know a lot of people love the Mitchell kid, who you kept calling the wrong name for Baylor, the point guard. They like him. Could they package to get up to get him? Those picks back there are also very, very important as well to add to this rebuild. So a lot to discuss. And Seth and Adam Spolane will have that for you tonight.
That
right
Moses Moody kid from Arkansas may be around for one of them late picks. You know what I mean? May be around. May get you a hog on the Rockets hard court down here.
That would be the last thing we need. All right.
No, come on.
Listen, David Culley. God. Culley loves to give ammo to his haters.
He really does.
And today he was at it again. I hate that he does this to himself. Wait till you hear what David Culley had to say that if you are a hater of his, you'll love it. That's next.
Football playing Jesse.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Clint Sterner, run the show. Hughley, Tyler, strong six today. He is producing this bad boy.
Ticket show.
What? What? Pick it up. He's producing the show today. And we're having a good time in here. David Culley, head coach of the Houston Texans. And listen, there are many people who are skeptical of David Culley, not sure exactly how he will fare here. But many reasons is because he says things that makes people lose confidence in him. And I think today was the latest. Those that are Culley haters, this is another example of it.
Well, I'm using that cheat sheet that you saw me using out there. Our scouting department has got everybody on this sheet we got right here. There's still some guys. I know who they are. We don't have names on jerseys right now. So a lot of times I just see people running around. And I'm not really sure from the back of the jersey who it is with the numbers. I don't know all the numbers yet. The point is, they're football players to me. So it doesn't matter to me who it is. I just know that when they show up and they're showing up a bunch, that when we're talking about who they are, then there's a pretty good chance that, those guys are doing exactly what we need to do to be able to make this football team.
Oh, David. Oh, Clint. Listen, I want to be Team David Culley. I really do. I want him. Remember, people kept telling us, give him a chance. Just give him a chance. And listen, I don't even think that this is normal. Does Pete Carroll know every one of the players on his team? Maybe. But would I be surprised if there are a few of these guys, it's up to 80, 90 guys if he didn't know, but he'd never come out and say it. He'd never come out and say and tell everyone, yeah, man, some of these guys I don't know yet. I don't know their name. Like, good God, just give yourself a chance, man. Have people looking at me, what do you mean you don't know who the players are? Why would he even say that?
Yeah, well, I know what he was trying to say. I mean, he was trying to say that.
Oh, so you think he was trying to say something else?
No, I know he was. I mean, he was trying to say that there's certain players that flash on film, and when the more they flash, the more likely he is to know their name, and the more likely he is to be aware of them moving forward, and therefore the more likely they are to make the team. He struggled through that statement there. I think that's what he was trying to say. That's what I took from it.
I hope it is. I mean, I think what I heard is, what I think some people hear is, he doesn't know who some of these players are.
Oh, but I don't doubt that David Culley doesn't know who some of the players are. I don't doubt that. Like, that's in the moment. Say. No, I mean, I think he knows their face, and I think he knows like the majority of them's number, but as they flash on film, I think he probably, you know, as they flash on the practice field, I don't know that his success rate is real high of being able to say that was so and so that just made that play. Like right there in the moment.
And that's not I don't think abnormal. I feel like there's a lot of guys out there, but from what the perception is on him, and I would hope he's aware of that. That what the perception is that he's not ready for this, he's in over his head or something. Like, statements like that don't help it. Like, hey, I'm just happy. Like, when he said it, like, I'm just happy to be a football coach. Or, hey, it's just one of 32. Like, those things, it's like to me, this falls in line with it, are not things that help him, that make him seem like, oh, see, there it is.
Right.
Like, how do you know who's not that? Like, he can't come out and say that. I don't know who the players are. Like, I don't know that, like, some of their numbers coming at me. It's just like, oh, God, David, I want to root for him so bad. I really do. Like, I want him to work. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't believe. I told Mark Ingram, somebody allegedly I upset. I told him I'm skeptical of it. I told him, but, man, when he says stuff like this, and it's just like,
what do I do?
Oh, Dave, man. Because, see, the Deshaun part, I don't put on him. Where he keeps coming out saying, like, oh, yeah, we're going to wait till the – I think that is obviously a game plan from the coach, from the whole team.
Thank you very much.
This is how we're going to handle it. We're going to say that, hey, Deshaun hasn't been able to get more reps because he missed OTAs. I don't put that on him. He's just following the script. This year, I don't know some of their – maybe you're right. I hope you're right. Maybe he just has a hard time explaining it the right way.
Oh, there,
because the way you explained it may come off a little like it makes more
sense. I think he has a tough time right now as a first-time head coach and first-time head coach of this particular group with 50 new names out there, new faces out there, that when a play is made on practice, it's number 54. It's not Jacob Martin, right? I mean, and the more 54 shows up, the more likely he is to know their name and the more likely their name is to be on the final roster. That's what I pulled from the comments, but there's no doubt you got to work a little harder with David Culley's press conferences and with his comments to kind of sift through the weeds to get down to the root of what it is he's saying. Yeah, I think we got some fun with it.
I think sometimes he just opens himself up for this. And I said, I remember saying this to Tyler or somebody. I don't know if you were here that day. I said, I wonder by like week 8, will this get better? Like with him at the podium. Now that he gets more experience, like he's starting now, he's going to be speaking every day at training camp. He's going to be speaking. How many times a week does a head coach speak?
Twice.
He speaks Sunday after the game.
Oh, three times. I think three times counting Sunday, because I think there's a Monday presser, and then there's like a Thursday one. Thursday or something like that.
Like by week 8, week 10, will this get better?
No. No.
Like you didn't even – like you just quick right off.
Bro. I mean, how long has he been the head coach of the Texans?
Well,
I'm not trying to pile on the guy. I'm just being honest and being real with you. If you're expecting these press conferences to get better all of a sudden, and for him not to step on himself, then I think you're crazy. You're setting yourself up to be disappointed.
I mean, I've been told I'm crazy before. I just thinking myself is how many times has he had press conferences before? Experience in doing press conferences as someone who he's never been a coordinator, so he doesn't go up once a week. So he's probably done a press conference one a year. I'm wondering maybe by week 8 he gets more experience.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like with,
I mean,
like,
did you see how fast Clint said no?
Well, I just think there's no. I mean, there's when you watch somebody struggle in these situations, there's not I think David Culley would be significantly better if the environment around him didn't consist of Deshaun Watson and Jack Easterby and even the direction of Nick Caserio and somebody constantly having their hand around his throat in the sense of what he can and can't say, and he's scared of what he can and can't do. Yeah, I think if you look back at that Hustle and Flow podcast that got his ass in trouble a while back, I think if you look at that, that guy could get better. But he's not going to be allowed to relax like that anytime soon. And so the more adversity this team goes through, which – they're going to go through what it looks like adversity in training camp with Deshaun, and then they're going to go through adversity when the season hits because they're not going to win a whole lot of football games. I think to expect him to handle it publicly the way that he did that Hustle and Flow podcast, I think is probably not reality. I think it's going to be more like the other 99.9% of press conference that we've seen have been struggles for him.
John, I'll let you jump in here, 713-572-4610. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys, like the discussion. Hey, you know, I think we need to give Culley a benefit of the doubt. I mean, everybody is picking at him every single – gone through what he has. I mean, the Texans roster is completely redone. And just because just knowing everybody, I mean, that'd be normal for any coach. I mean, I don't know. I just think we're being too nitpicky on Culley. let's give him a benefit of the doubt and let him do his thing and let's see what happens. But right now, you know, everybody's just looking for something to complain about. And it just gets a little bit tiresome that, it's just real negative and, it's just not helpful. I don't think.
All right. I appreciate the call, John. And you
thank you very much.
You can have your opinion. And if you think it's nitpicky, it's fair to your opinion. I'm just telling you that goes along to the pace of what people look at and say, this dude ain't no head coach, or this is why he's going to be fired in 2 years, or this is why he's not going to be here in 2 years. Those things of him even pushing for, like, if you're David Culley, you know how you're perceived in any way, stating like you don't know who the players are, you don't know their numbers. Like, that's just not a good idea. That helps your case, in my opinion. And I think he just does that to himself at times. All right, should the Astros be done making moves? Should they be done? They've already made 3 moves ahead to the bullpen. Should they possibly go for a position player? We'll ask our MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr., as he joins us next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Big night in Houston. The Rockets have the number 2 pick in the draft. So make sure you're listening right here, Sports Radio 610, as Sean Pendergast and Adam Spolane, our Rockets insider, will have a NBA draft special tonight to see where the Rockets go with the number 2 pick. Kay Cunningham has already been reported going to be drafted by the Detroit Pistons at 1, so we'll see where that goes. But the trade deadline for the Astros comes to a close tomorrow, Friday at 3 o'clock. They've already made a couple of moves. We'll see what else it is that they do. Tony Gwynn Jr. joins the show. Joining the show is our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr. And, Tony, we appreciate you jumping on with us. What do you think about the moves they've made? 3 moves. They get two closers. Yimmy! We just like saying his name. Sorry, Tony. Yimmy Garcia from the Marlins, and as well as Kendall Graveman, whose numbers – there aren't a lot of closers or relievers whose numbers are better than Ryan Presley's, but Kendall Graveman of the Mariners, his actually are. What did you think about those additions to this bullpen?
I like both of them. I mean, there's a reason why the Mariner players were ticked off that they moved their best reliever. Graveman's having a terrific year. We've talked almost all season long about how Houston needed extra arms in that bullpen. Starters have seemed to start to kind of round into shape, but that bullpen is, aside from Presley, has been a little shaky. And you add an arm like Graveman, you add an arm like Yimmy Garcia, who was a dependable arm for the Dodgers when they were going through their runs, and now having a good year with the Marlins, I think the Astros addressed the bullpen need. Now, there's still a big fish out there that, you know, the Astros are rumored to be in on, and that's Craig Kimbrel. But if they don't, I think they can feel pretty good about the moves they have. Because certainly they didn't need to address the offense. This offense is one of the best offenses in the league.
Tony, does the Craig Kimbrel move at this point for the Astros, does it even make sense?
I you can never have too many. You can never have too many arms. I mean, especially – In the playoffs, and we see how year after year managers are letting the starters go less innings in that bullpen or during the playoffs, and that bullpen is relied upon. So you can never have too many. But like I said, if they don't end up making a move for Kimbrel, they've done plenty to address the needs that they have, and they're going to be a tough team to catch and a tough team to beat in the playoffs down the stretch.
Our, joining us right now, our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. So if they, let's say they stop right now, I'm with you. Craig Kimbrel, go get him. Get it. I mean, if you're going to try to win it with this window, go and get him right now. They haven't given up a lot to get these two. But if they if they stay where they are, Kendall Graveman has been, as you said, Seattle's best reliever. What would you say should be the order of how to get to the end of a game, 7th, 8th, and 9th for this team now?
Listen, I don't think you move Presley at this point. I don't know that Graveman has the cachet to just move Presley. Presley's been excellent all season long. I don't think you rock that boat. Now, Kimbrel's a different story. You get him, he's a bona fide closer and has done it in the toughest situations. So maybe you have that conversation then. But I think Presley's still your guy. I think you've bolstered now your seventh, eighth innings. And you got some young arms still around there that can get out. So I personally keep Presley in that closer spot. I use Graveman to set him up. And, you know, and you can use Jimmy kind of as a six or seven any guy as well.
Tony, what about the – I mean, because we don't know. We hadn't seen these guys yet. We don't know what the hell they're going to look like in an Astros uniform.
Right.
You know, we don't know if Click's going to make another move or not. It wouldn't surprise me before Friday. But something we do know about is the starting rotation for the Astros. And you've got one older arm in Zach Greinke, and you've got several young arms in starting roles right now that may or may not have been injured throughout the year at one time or another. Urquidy's been hurt two different times. How concerned should Astros fans be about these young guys not being able to navigate 162 games, or even Greinke not being able to navigate 162 games, where the workload for either or just becomes a problem?
I think at this point in the year, you stop worrying about managing the 162, and you're just trying to get them healthy and ready to go for the stretch run, which is, you know, these last few months. I mean, what's done is done. And a lot of, you're right, they've had their fair share of injuries in the starting rotation. But now you're focused on August, September, and as long as you possibly can in October. And that means getting these guys set. So whatever issues they've had earlier in the season kind of become obsolete. If you can get those guys healthy, you know that the arms are good enough to advance you in the playoffs. You know the offense is good enough to advance you in the playoffs. So if I'm Houston, if I'm the fans, that's where my focus is starting to get these guys healthy and pitching more frequently down the stretch now, because, you know, most of the season, more than half of the season is already gone. We're moving into the 105, 106 game range here. That should be the focus, is getting these guys ready to go, because they're going to be – the starting rotation is going to need to pitch well and be healthy, more importantly, in order for this Astros team to go as far as I think they believe they can go.
You're just jumping in. We're talking to our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr. And, Tony, listen, you said their offense is fine, but there are some people around here who question or are nervous about Miles Straw in center field. And there have been some rumblings, potentially maybe they were looking there. I know they were linked to Starling Marte, who then eventually went to the A's. Do you think that is a move that James Click should look at, maybe replacing center field or upgrading center field, or do you see pitching just being where he would look?
I think the folks that are worried about Straw in center field are being greedy,
That's what.
I think. I mean, this offense is – as good with or without Straw. You can plug whoever you want to plug in at center field. This offense is legit. I mean, and you're still, you know, finding a way to work Bregman back into the situation. This team puts up a bunch of runs night in, night out, and it really doesn't – and listen, it doesn't matter who they have in center field, I don't believe. I think their offense is plenty enough. I think it's deep enough to where if the guys who are in the lineup, you know, the big dogs, Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez, Correa, if those guys are in there, and I don't want to forget Tucker, if those guys are doing what they're supposed to do, it doesn't really matter who you have there. As long as they can play D, they'll be fine.
All right, Tony, before we get out of here, I need you to break this news for me. I'm seeing reports. Is Max Scherzer coming to San Diego? Is he going to be the next pitcher for the Padres?
Listen, I've been hearing things, I mean, as early as this morning, that is looking more and more like it. But, you know, in today's age, you never know exactly what to believe. But I have heard that. That was this morning before it started being, you know, put out there and tweeted and printed. But I haven't got a firm yes on it yet. But it certainly is shaping up that way at this point.
A lot of going on.
He knows something.
I think you know. I think you know something.
Tony knows something, man.
Damn it!
Come on now.
Hey. By the way, T, if we're gonna be fam and all, we done broke plenty of bread. Well, I mean, Tony Gwynn Jr. Can't be what you've gone by your entire life.
Ooh,
what nickname is it? that stuck with you over time?
Lil T is usually what.
Really?
Yeah, Lil T or Antony are two of the nicknames I hear frequently.
See, I thought he said. Clint guessed and said it would be Lil T.
Come on,
was right. Hey.
Lil T. I thought it was Junior. I just figured you would be called Junior.
Lil T. I'm the damn champ around here with nicknames.
Sounds like he's got something to say.
Shut up, Clint.
It sounds like he's got something to say. Come on, Junior. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say that around my house, I was called Lil T. Around Qualcomm. And Petco, I was called Junior. So, fam calls me Little T. That's the one I tend to go by most of the time.
That wins.
Come on.
I get a bronze medal.
You know how proud I am to have your pops on my wall growing up now. It's game over, man. Come on, man. Hey, Lil T, call me Dirty Red from now on, baby. Just call me Dirty Red. Ain't no big deal.
Dirty Red it is. Dirty Red
Damn, man. I was for sure on that one. All right, Tony, man. Thanks for joining us, and thank you for not just being straight with us and letting us know that Max Scherzer is going to be a San Diego Padre. I don't know why you're doing that. Tell my guy Eric Hosmer I said what's up. That's my guy. But appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to hearing you next week.
All right, fellas, take care.
All right, that was our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB Insider, Tony Gwynn Jr., and we're never going to shake this S-itting grin off.
Yeah,
of
I mean, look, sometimes you just gotta call an ace an ace, man. Sometimes you just got to give credit where credit's due.
I mean,
Tyler immediately gave credit where credit was due. You just hated it.
I gave you credit.
You didn't have no damn choice. It's on the air.
I didn't give him credit. I didn't have any choice.
It was painful,
too. I gave
him
credit. It was. I'm competitive. I mean, and I didn't even give him the option. He said it. He said it himself. Like, we didn't even give him what the nickname
was. That's a big win for Dirty.
That's a big one. Do I get any part of the Junior part?
No.
He said around
Petco.
That's his name.
It's Tony Gwynn.
It's in his name.
It's Junior. Yeah.
It's the one thing that differentiated him and his father's name. Literally, the one thing. So, like, the one thing they could call him that you knew you weren't talking about was Junior.
713-572-4610. I don't know why I'm going to ask this question, because as the heel on the show, I know what the answer is going to be. Do I get any points for the nickname Junior?
Call in and give him some points so we can.
I don't even want to call in. Text in 713-572. I just want to. Do I get in or do I just shut up? Is this a full L that I'm taking? Is this just a full loss that I'm taking? I can't take it from Tyler.
The longer you push it, the L just gets worse.
I don't trust Tyler. He's a bad person. I don't trust Tyler.
Look, hey, you know what this is?
I'm sorry. That was
you know what this
show.
Is? This is a little
kid.
Show after he lost the baseball game on the mound the other day, throwing kicking dirt and stuff.
The adult version of me.
I wonder where he learns it.
That's right. That's right.
Shove it. I hope your dogs scratch up your carpet.
Whoa.
Wow. Whoa. I do. I hope they scratch up some carpet.
No, my dogs are well behaved. They ain't going to scratch up
sure
no carpet.
They are.
I bet they're playing in that.
Every dog has it in them to scratch up carpet.
I bet they're in that backyard in that hole that you got dug for that pool, playing in it, chewing on the wood.
One of them did jump down in there yesterday.
We got to get it. Tyler was hot. Tyler was hot going into the last break at this last caller. He was not happy with John's call. Did you hear what Tyler say to you? He said to me, what'd you say? Go ahead, say it.
I think that's the problem a lot of the times with fans in our city, man. Like, it's all okay. We give them a shot. There has not been a complete, for lack of a better term, dumpster fire going on for the past several months. Like, this has not been the biggest national story, but you just want to treat it with kid gloves? Come on, man. We got to start expecting more. We got to start expecting better from the teams in this town, because that's why the fan bases of the Texans, the Astros, and the Rockets, we get a bad rap, because it's all kid gloves. Oh, you're being too hard. Relax.
Just let it out, Tyler.
Come on, guys. I think we need to give this a chance. We've been given it a chance since 2002. It's time to start changing something in the right direction.
That's when I graduated high school. I mean, just let it out.
I mean,
if you're just jumping in, I said David Culley put himself in a bad place again, saying he didn't know some of the players' numbers, and I just think he just brings it on to himself sometimes. And I looked on the text line, Clint, and people said that this show was being mean. The show was being mean to David Cohn.
You are sometimes.
Look, I told you when you first mentioned it.
Someone called me a penis on the text line. My God, that's a little deep.
I mean, look, I'm being mean to him. It's low hanging fruit, man. He's gonna do those things. I mean, those aren't hard to find, and he's got to talk to the media every day after practice. It'd be fairly easy to find those kind of deals.
To be clear, show like I think I have nothing against David Culley. I think like everyone has said, he's a nice guy. I am gonna give him a shot. I hope he coaches his ass off and this team does well.
You just expect better. You just expect better. Like, you feel like the fans should expect better.
Yes. We got to start having higher standards. That's all I think.
All right, Tyler. I'm glad you let that out. Speaking of higher standards, I was out at camp today.
I was standing next to you.
Sometimes. But at this point, you weren't next to me. At this point, it was just me and him. I was standing there. I was by myself, and I was about 10 yards from Jack Easterby. And I'm looking at Jack. And if you're listening, Jack, I'd like to challenge Jack to a race.
Hold on, so.
You want to challenge Easterby to a race?
Foot race?
I looked at him. I looked at Jack, and I thought to myself.
The media hadn't heard from Jack in about 4 years.
No, but Jack's got the competitive look in his eye.
You think he's going to race you?
I think, listen, I've dropped 115 pounds since October. And I looked at him, and I thought, I think I can get him in a 40-yard dash.
What was it that? Like, you sized him up clearly.
I sized him up. I think he'd be a challenge. He's got a longer stride than me, obviously. He's taller.
But what was it that made you think I'd get him?
I was staring. It was like nobody else was there. It was just me and him. Close distance. The closest.
Right.
Not the closest I've been to Jack, but very close. And I looked at him, and his calves didn't look like they were right. His hamstrings didn't look right. And I looked and I said, I can get him.
That was it. You're a calf and hamstring.
Calf, hamstring. I looked at myself. Like, I even took my phone out and did the photo thing so I could look at myself as well. And I looked at myself up against, and I thought.
Oh, you pulled your phone out and used it as a mirror.
Yeah, and to look at myself a little more. And I think I can get Jack. 40 yards. Jack right now, I would challenge anywhere. I think I can get him. That'd give me 5-10 minutes to stretch ahead of time.
I don't know how to feel about this.
I don't know how to feel about you sizing
Jack up to the point where you checked his calves and his hamstring and then mirror image yourself in your phone to come to that conclusion.
Somebody said show's going to get smoked. Whatever. I think I can get Jack.
I think you'd be setting yourself up for failure.
So you don't have confidence in me that I could get Jack. No, you already answered it. You've already answered it.
You got to let me explain. I think if you win, everybody moves on and beats up on Jack a little bit, and then we move on. I think if you lose, there's a good chance you get booed smooth up out of H-Town.
Oh, so you think I'm putting too much on the line?
Mm. Well, I think it's a poor decision. I think you're setting yourself up to fail. There's no way for you to win.
If I win the race, like, you think that's you're supposed to? This guy was 320 pounds, like 9 months ago. He just beat Jack.
I love the confidence that's
Jack has a lot of things on his side.
My man loses 115, and he's out there ready. He's sizing dudes up, man.
He's ready.
I mean, this is why I know I'm the heel. You will not believe this text line. I got 100 on Jack. Ron, sorry.
Hey, Clint.
So you can't win against Dirty in an argument. What makes you think you can win in a race with Jack? That's a lie.
Hey, Clint, you know what Show told me when y'all came in today from training camp? He said, hey, you see this shirt I wore out to training camp? Large.
It's a large, baby. And I think maybe that was some
squeezed.
Of my
confidence. It looks good.
That's where some of my confidence came from. I'm serious. I can get Jack. It's still in there.
I've never even seen you jog. If I'm basing it off your walk and your gait and like your
you don't love it.
Your slow motion.
I've never even seen you jog.
I'm telling what. Well, all right, in this break, I'm gonna bring it down.
I don't doubt. I'm just telling you. Your walk is a very. It's cool, like it's a swaggy, but it's a lazy walk.
I'm concerned at the end. I'm concerned about the last 8 yards if I start to leak. That's where my concern. That would be my concern. But I feel like I can build a big enough lead on Jack that I can go.
I don't know about that.
I'm on that.
I don't know about that. Check out Texans fans. Texans GM Nick Caserio, he dropped a monster announcement on us. He gave us the go-ahead on a little something for the listeners here on Sports Radio 610. We'll explain next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.